Welcome to the Anthro Art Podcast, a space of anthropological insight connected to real-life situations. Here we explore topics of social inequality and inclusion, sustainability, and the social self. We aim to bring a more nuanced understanding of our world and its challenges, but also inspiration and ideas on how to solve them together. We hope you enjoy it.
Zero Waste, the genealogy of a movement. Abstract. When looking for information on the famous 3 R's of sustainability, I came across a video on YouTube by a French woman living in California called Bea Johnson that proposed a waste hierarchy of 5 R's: refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot. The practices shared were not new to the environmental movement, nor to the lives of people who were born before the consumer society. But for the first time, someone turned it into a set of practices applicable to everyday life, turning it into a global movement with all the characteristics of the social media era. In the format proposed, and subsequently by other prominent voices in the movement, I found a practical way of replicating what I was already doing in a diffuse way within other movements. This article will show that work and principles. Short text. At the end of 2014, when I was looking for information on the famous 3 R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle, of sustainability in order to write a project, I came across a video on YouTube by a French woman living in California called Bea Johnson, in which she proposed a waste hierarchy of 5 R's: refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, and rot. In her videos, Bea shared several well-known practices, especially among environmentalists and permaculturists, groups that I was a member of at the time, such as carrying your own water bottle, carrying your own coffee container without having to use disposable cups, composting organic food in your backyard, carrying your own cutlery in your bag, and refusing disposable ones, buying food in bulk, producing your own toothpaste, among others. The practices that Bea shared were not new to the environmental movement, nor to the lives of people who were born before the consumer society. But for the first time, someone turned it into a set of practices applicable to everyday life, turning it into a global movement, with all the characteristics of the social media era: shareable content that easily goes viral, followers and likes that legitimize the content, and connection between people from different parts of the world, gathered around ideas and thoughts to reduce the negative environmental impact on the planet. Bea declared from the outset that her practices were zero waste, with the aim of not generating waste that would end up in landfills and incinerators. In the format proposed by Bea and subsequently by other prominent voices in the movement, I found a practical way of replicating what I was already doing in a diffuse way within other movements. I became one of the movement's leading voices in the country. In 2017, a year before founding my own shop in Brazil during a cross-country global tour, I met and connected with dozens of initiatives dedicated to zero waste. Between 2007, when the first zero waste shop opened in London, and 2019, the COVID period, the zero waste movement has spread, opening thousands of shops around the world, demonstrating its strength by transforming a digital movement into a material force in geographical space. Today, most of the shops that opened during this period have gone bankrupt, and many of the movement's globally known representatives, influencers, have publicly declared that they no longer live the zero-waste lifestyle. Others simply stopped posting content on social media, where they had a daily presence producing content, such as Bea Johnson and the founder of Berlin's first zero-waste shop, Milena Klimbowski. This shows that, especially after COVID, These initiatives were unable to maintain their activities after the movement's most prosperous decade. However, Zero Waste wasn't born in 2007 with the first shop founded in London, nor was it born in 2015 in Brazil, when nobody was talking about it, as Cristal Muniz said in her video about the end of the project A Life Without Rubbish, a prominent influencer of the movement in the country. And it didn't start with the priestess of zero waste living, Bea Johnson, in 2008 when she shared her zero waste routine at her home in California. Heterogeneous process. The emergence of zero waste is a heterogeneous process derived from a broad historical context around. The emergence of zero waste is a heterogeneous process derived from a broad historical context around the issue of consumption and waste in our society, which underwent an important mutation with the rise of the internet around the 2000s, which precisely enabled it to spread, making the movement more popular and replicable in various contexts. The emergence of zero waste is a heterogeneous process derived from a broad historical context around the issue of consumption and waste in our society, which underwent an important mutation with the rise of the internet around the 2000s, which precisely enabled it to spread, making the movement more popular and replicable in various contexts with various influencers, supporters, group communities, organizations, and business all over the world. Before this popular phase, zero waste went through two other stages, one very much focused on recycling and diverting materials from landfills and incinerators, and a later stage, concentrating on government plans and public policies. Below, I'll provide more details on the conditions that gave rise to zero waste, as well as the three stages identified over its five decades of existence. The emergency conditions of the zero waste movement. The global production of solid urban waste has grown rapidly, especially since the Second World War, characterized by the satisfied society of the West versus the dissatisfied society of the East. This historical materiality of waste is expressed today in the accumulation of plastic in the oceans, the increase in greenhouse gas emissions, the insufficiency of landfill layers, the problem of pollution from incinerators and other waste management processes, climate change, among other serious environmental problems today. This problematic generation of trash and waste resulting from mass consumption and, consequently, mass disposal is central to the debates, ideas, and struggles of zero waste activists who aim to transform the failing hegemonic consumption and disposal system towards more sustainable patterns. This challenge takes place through practices, ideas, management processes and business models that help their supporters to reduce negative environmental impacts by avoiding the generation of waste and disposal in everyday life, while challenging the rules of the game of the current system. In general, zero waste was formed on the edges of modern society's disposal and consumption system, which in the course of the industrial processes of mass production and consumption to process of urbanization and the concentration of people in cities, began to generate ever-increasing volumes of waste, requiring a management system that proved to be insufficient from a very early stage. Not only because of the growing volume, but also because of the increasing low quality and complexity resulting from the mixture of materials produced by modern industry. Below, I will outline the genealogy of the movement, dividing it into three distinct stages, which were defined on the basis of important milestones identifying during the research. Phase 1, 1970 to 1995, recycling as a focus. Although zero waste is considered a recent social phenomenon by its contemporary digital adherents and some authors, Its history begins before its transformation into a global movement driven by social networks and its millions of daily shares of the sustainable lifestyle applied to everyday life. Since its origins in 1970, Zero Waste Movement can be divided into three distinct phases. The first phase covered the period from the emergence of the term until 1996, marked by the formulation of Canberra's Zero Waste Plan. This initial phase was characterized by a more elitist approach, involving mainly academics and small and medium-sized companies in the United States. The predominant focus was on the final stages of the production chain, with an emphasis on recycling and applying the principles of the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. In the United States, Paul Polmer, chemist and PhD from Yale University, founder of Zero Waste Systems, Inc., is often credited with coining the term zero waste. While working in chemical waste management in American industries and laboratories, Polmer developed methods to extend the useful life of waste in the production chain, promoting its reuse and diverting it from landfills. Another name often mentioned as one of the founders of Zero Waste is Dan Knapp. In 1981, he founded Urban Ore, a company that still operates today with a focus on recovering materials that have gone to landfill, processing, separating, or recovering them, and then selling them to the municipality's own recycling industry in Berkeley. The distinctive feature of this phase is that it was the embryonic historical moment of the movement. At least in the United States, zero waste practices were confined to companies like Polmer and Knapp, with some involvement from local public authorities through partnerships with municipalities such as Urban Ore. During this stage, initiatives were mainly focused on recycling and concentrated at the end of the production chain, with limited interventions in everyday life and no significant efforts at waste prevention, such as questioning consumption habits, for example. Phase 2, 1996 to 2007, government plans, laws, and waste prevention. This phase is marked by the government plan of Canberra, Australia. In 1996, the Australian capital became the first city in the world to design a government program. The plan launched that year brought together a comprehensive vision of the actors needed to realize the ambitious vision of making Canberra a zero-waste city by 2010, a waste management strategy for Canberra, no waste by 2010. It is the first time that a document has addressed the dimension of waste prevention, producing a more comprehensive view of the production problem, involving industry, government, and local committees in its formulation. The document discusses ideas for generating more efficiency in recycling, as the previous stage emphasizes, but also debates and presents important questions about consumption and the complex materials used in production. The proposal also moves forward and addresses critical issues that still exist today, such as environmental racism, and proposals for legislation focusing on making manufacturers accountable and reducing the complexity of materials. Another innovative aspect of the plan is a proposal for a paradigm shift that recognizes waste as a resource. In addition, the plan presents a waste hierarchy in which waste prevention is emphasized as a priority step over disposal. Since Canberra, several other governments have launched zero-waste plans with the aim of designing and implementing solutions that, in essence, aim to reduce the pressure on urban waste management, following the principles of zero waste. In 2001, New Zealand also launched an important official document that set out a national vision based on zero-waste principles, using the Canberra Plan as a model. The document entitled The End of Waste highlights the global problems of mass waste production and outlines the country's important role in paving the way for zero waste policies, setting the goal of eliminating waste as the main target. Other localities followed the example of Canberra and New Zealand, developing similar public policy plans, such as Seattle, San Francisco, Toronto, North Carolina, Santa Cruz County, the Philippines, and Kamikatsu, Japan, among others. The objectives and initiatives of the Zero Waste Public Plans have failed to fulfill their promises and deadlines. One by one, these plans were abandoned even before their programs ended. In practice, various actors contributed to a synergy of resistance, resulting in the failure of public policy plans, with a significant role of opposition from industries and the general population. It is important to emphasize that in this phase, ordinary people, urban populations, emerge as important actors in contrast to their invisibility in the previous stage. The dimension of waste prevention associated with excessive consumption, complex materials that make recycling difficult, and the irresponsible role of companies that make such complex products available on the market appear as fundamental issues that were hidden in the previous phase. Phase 3, 2007 to 2019. The movement reaches people's everyday lives. After the massive abandonment of municipal programs aimed at eliminating the sending of waste to landfills and incinerators and removing the pressure from municipal management systems, the internet would be the new technological basis for launching zero waste into a new stage of development. The engagement of the public and everyday life that had been marginalized in the previous stages were reprogrammed in the early days of social media in the 2000s. This stage is shaping up to be an impressive globalized ultra-shareable phase, with the potential to reach every part of the world, and which, in the ways of our time, has turned into astonishing numbers. Starting with the followers of Zero Waste who have reduced their waste to 150-gram jar per year and post their waste-free routines by sharing their practices in the digital environment. Using the tool of the 5 R's, 1. Refuse what is not necessary, 2. Reduce what cannot be refused, 3. Reuse what cannot be reduced, 4. Recycle what cannot be reused, and 5. Compost rot what cannot be recycled, adepts and entrepreneurs could put zero waste into practice and reduce their waste production as much as possible, both in their homes and in their businesses. The tool plus the internet and the movement supporters made this stage the most popular moment of the zero waste movement, when compared to the preceding ones. The thousands of shops that opened and replicated around the world were real platforms for reducing waste production and functioned as places of exchange and learning. There, adepts could find courses on home composting, and they could also buy worms and compostable bins to set up this practice at home. Courses on how to make your own waste-free cosmetics with ecological ingredients, among many other courses, helped followers to apply even more waste-free processes and routines. At the same time, they were able to find ecological and sustainable products, facilitating the main objective, reducing or eliminating the production of waste in everyday life. This process was fruitful until 2019, when the pandemic will have an impact on the material and global structure of zero waste establishments, causing many shops to go bankrupt and close their doors. Perhaps this heralds a new stage in the movement. A zero waste future for when? The zero waste movement is not as recent in society as many supporters claim. Zero waste originated from the problem of negative environmental impacts related initially to the increasingly voluminous waste of modern life in cities. At first, the focus was limited to diverting waste from landfills and incinerators. As zero waste developed, the dimension of waste prevention linked to the mass consumption characteristic of modern society became part of the zero waste principles and was incorporated into public plans and programs, marking the second stage of the movement. In the third stage, with the internet and social network as a technological platform, zero waste is operationalized and can be applied to people's everyday lives for the first time. The growth of this stage is fueled by thousands of shops opening in different parts of the world. At this moment, the zero waste movement is facing the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic. Hundreds of shops have closed their doors. Some have migrated to the digital environment, and several globally known advocates have stated that they no longer follow the principles of the zero waste movement in their lives. This period, which seems to mark the decline of the third stage described above, requires further analysis and additional studies. Studies into the impacts the movement has had on the daily lives of its adherents and entrepreneurs are ongoing, and this article is a contribution to that research.